to be here with y'all this evening. I believe this is my first time being here and mounting the pulpit at Crossroads Baptist Church, and I really am thankful for the opportunity. I don't take it lightly, Brother Michael. I know I can stand behind this pulpit with total, complete truth, with not a doubt in my mind, in saying this statement, that you have one of the greatest pastors that you possibly could have. I know for a fact that he loves each and every single one of you all with all of his heart. He cares for you, and he wants the best for you. And I, you know, to be honest with you, y'all ought to love on him, encourage him as much as you can, because that's hard to find. That is really hard to find. In this day and age, you will not see that in every church, sadly. You will not find that in every church, and that's a shame. And that's why I believe that each and every single independent fundamental Baptist church that has one, we ought to take good care of him, amen? But I do love Brother Michael. He is one of my dearest friends, and I can tell you that you just got a good one. You got a good one. And I don't take it lightly, because he's entrusted in me this time to be with his people, and I don't want to let him down. All right, so y'all just bear with me and just pray for me, and we'll go ahead and get right into the message. Brother Michael did introduce me. My name is Chandler O'Brien. I'm 19 years old, and I'm currently studying at West Virginia State University in hopes to obtain my psychology degree within 2 more years. So I do covet y'all's prayers with my schooling and education, and as well as my ministry. Well, between the both of them, they keep me pretty busy. So I noticed the other day, Brother Michael, I'm 19 years old, but I noticed I already got 3 gray hairs on my head.
Yeah, amen.
I don't know whether that's because of the college or the ministry. I can't find out yet, but I do love what the Lord has, the position that He has put me in, and I'm so grateful for it. You know, I don't deserve it. If only you all knew who this old sinner was, you wouldn't want me to be here this evening. You wouldn't want me to open up my Bible and preach God's Word. Because I promise you, I don't deserve it. I promise you, I'm not worthy of it. But I'm thankful that He doesn't call the qualified.
Amen.
But He qualifies the called. Amen.
Yes,
and because of that, I can stand behind this pulpit and open up His Word and begin to preach His Word.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for it this evening.
Amen.
And I don't want to do anything else but serve Him to the best of my ability. But if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, begin turning there, Hebrews chapter 12. That's where we're going to find our text this evening. I do love this passage of Scripture. I love the book of Hebrews. Matter of fact, I love any book written by Paul. But honestly, I'm really broad, and I can't really make up my mind that well. I just love the entire Bible, amen? I can't get enough of it. But I love Hebrews chapter 12, and I hope that y'all had a wonderful New Year's. I know that I did. You know, I have a love-hate relationship with New Year's. This statement right here will tell you a lot about me. I have a love-hate relationship with New Year's because, you know, on New Year's Eve, it's all about like the meatballs and the finger foods and the pepperoni rolls, the chips and salsa, and all that good food and good eating. And I love it. I mean, we had about 6 different types of cake on New Year's Eve, and I was just in heaven. I was in heaven on earth. If you could get close to heaven, it was right there in my living room watching the ball drop with about 3 different pieces of cake on my plate. I mean, I just love that. But here's the reason why I kind of hate it as well, is because the next day it makes me feel really miserable whenever I wake up and I see my mom throwing out half a cake and saying, "Oh, we got to start our diets. We got to start our diets today." And you know, each and every single year we always have these different resolutions, and we always try to better ourselves, and we're always trying to press a little bit further on, and we just want to challenge ourselves a little bit to where we can continue to move forward. That's the goal. That's the key right there. Just to continue to better ourselves and move forward. And I believe that as we look throughout the entire Bible, you'll find that in Hebrews chapter 12, we find a couple hidden truths here that Paul was trying to tell the Christian people. And he was trying to show them, this is how you move forward. This is how you continue on. This is how you take that next step in your walk with Christ. And so for the next couple moments, Lord willing, I want to preach on this thought. I promise you I won't be quick, because I'm not the smartest person in the world. You know, I could stand up here and tell you all that I know in about 5 minutes. So Lord willing, we'll go a little bit longer than 5 minutes. Amen. But for the next couple moments, I want to preach on this thought: running our race.
Amen.
running our race. See, we're entering into this new year. And I believe each and every single year we have in this Christian life a race that we ought to run. And every single year, as the ages grow older and older, it kind of changes with time. But I'm thankful I serve a God that doesn't change. Amen?
Amen.
But we see that that race, it changes. The circumstances, it changes. And we have to go about it in a different way, in a different manner. See, we can't just line up and go right off the gunshot dead sprint. Because if you do that about halfway through, you're going to fall flat on your face. I've been there. I've done that, literally. And if you can't tell by just looking at me, I ain't the fastest runner in the world. I don't know a whole lot about running. So I depend on a lot what the Bible's telling me this evening. But I'll share this quick story with you just by way of introduction. There's only been one time in my life. Remember that we're talking about running our race. There's only been one time in my life that I've ran a race and finishing first. And it wasn't in third grade. It wasn't in first grade. I mean, I was a husky little fella. I've always been big. I've always been slow. I've never been a good runner at all. I'll just be honest with y'all. I don't want to lie to you this evening. But I've just never been the fastest person. There's always been at least, you know, one other person that's faster than me. And it just seemed like all throughout my life, I never was able to finish first in a race, no matter what it was. And finally, I was a freshman in high school. I played football that year, and I remember that we were doing winter conditioning. And our coaches, they made us start running bleachers, and it was in the wintertime. All right, winter conditioning. You go outside when it's snowing. You go outside whenever there's ice everywhere. You go outside, whatever the weather may be, you're outside, all right? And he said, all right, boys, and it was the entire team. You got running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks, safeties, cornerbacks, all the fastest kids on the team lining up front. And here I am, this big old lineman in the back thinking, man, this is going to be awful. Yeah, I might as well just go ahead and throw up and say I'm sick and just go home because I hate running. And I remember the coach was telling us the rules, and he was saying, on the way up, you're going to run through those bleachers zigzag. And on the way back, you're going to turn around, you're going to cut the corner and run them zigzag the way back. So we all said, yes, sir. And like I said, it was in the wintertime. So there was ice all over these metal bleachers. So here I am. I'm a big fella. I'm not the most coordinated. And there's ice on metal bleachers. And I take off running. I mean, I felt great. You know, the cold air just helped me even better. I felt like I was Flash. I mean, I was Usain Bolt over there. And I was just running up a storm. And I remember I slipped and fell, ate it. I mean, landed right on my face. I probably like one of the worst experiences of my life. And I got up and took off running again. And I slipped, hit my bottom. And I mean to tell you, everybody was slipping and falling. There's about five kids that left with cuts and bruises on them. But I remember thinking I was all the way in the back. I had three other fellows that were just about as big as me, and they were just about as slow as me. And we would always run together because we knew that we were just the slowest people. So we'd kind of take the caboose, if you will. And we were watching as everybody was falling and everything. We were just trying to take it a little bit slower, but still look like we were pressing on enough to where the coach wouldn't get mad at us. And I can remember as we were running those Zoom lines, and I can remember looking out as the kids were taking the curve, they just went straight. See, we were supposed to run zigzag on the way back, right? Y'all remember that? The coach said, run zigzag. All right. So I didn't cheat. I promise you I didn't cheat. I just followed the rules, and everybody else didn't. And I remember I was thinking, oh, man, it's time to turn on the jets. Yeah, everybody done messed up. And they all went back to the coach, and the coach made them restart. But here I was in the back. I've learned from their mistakes, so I started running zigzags on the way back. The only time in my life that I've ever finished first in a race. And you want to know the only reason that I finished first? It was because I actually listened to the rules and the commandments that were set before me. Yeah. And friend, church, can I tell you this evening, we have been given a great rule book. Yeah. You have a King James Bible in your hand. The greatest commandments that have ever seen, that any man has ever seen. The only law book, the only book that you ever need to hold dear to your life. The only thing that has each and every single answer to every single trial that you're ever going to go through. The only thing that can get you through and allow you to keep on running and so such a manner to please the Almighty God is that King James Bible. And friend, can I tell you, if you would just do as you were told and stick to the commandments that God has given us, that is how we're going to be able to keep on running. We don't need a cheat. We don't need to change ways. Right. We don't need to say, let's try it a little bit different. No, we don't need to cut corners now. Amen. See, we're not running in this race alone. Right. If you begin to read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, you're going to find that we got a great cloud of witnesses with us. Amen. We got all that verse means right there. All that passage of Scripture means is we ain't the first ones to run the race, Brother Michael. Right. We ain't the first ones to take this one on. We're not the first ones to look at that big old mountaintop in that big deep valley and say, my, how in the world am I going to make it up there? We're not the first ones to go through these trials. We're not the first ones to go through these tribulations. We're not the first ones to run these races. Friend, can I tell you, we got so many different great examples, so many different people that we can look up to, so many different heroes of the faith that we can just say, I want to be like them. They ran a great race while they were here on earth. They ran as good and as fast as anyone else, and they stuck to what God told them to. And I believe that I ought to run exactly how they did. See, I'm one of them people that like the old paths. Amen. I'm somebody that thinks that, you know, Mama and Papa, they may not be stylish. They may not be trendy. They may not be cool to these other 19-year-olds in the world. But what they did, it worked for them. It was good enough for them, amen. It supplied every single need that they ever had. I mean, friend, I've been there with my mom and dad, and they're sitting there at the dinner table saying, kids, we don't got nothing to eat. We don't got no money in the bank. There ain't no way that this wall is going to be able to break down. There's no way that we're going to get out of this valley. And before you know it, there's a door. Amen. There's a knock on that door. With people with just groceries filled in their hands saying, I just want to bless your family this evening. Yeah, amen. Time and time again, there's been situations and there's been trials and tribulations in my life, and I've been able to see the hand of God move while I've been running this short race that I've ran. And I don't want to veer from it. Amen. Now more than ever in this day and age, in such a time as this, we need young people, we need moms and dads, we need mamas and papas to stand and say, I'm still for the old gospel banner. I still want to serve that true, one living Savior, Jehovah God. I still want to go to church on Sunday morning, on Sunday night, and on Wednesday night. I still want to tithe. I still want to sow in. Amen. I still want to sing out of that red-backed hymnal. I still want the old time religion. Amen. We need now more than ever a church that's like that.
Yes, sir. You're right, preacher.
And we see that as we're entering this new year, there's some things that Paul writes down in this passage of Scripture that'll help us run a race that we ain't never ran before. Yeah. In such a fashion that we've never seen before. And I believe that I just want to encourage y'all this evening. I just want to give you a word from God that would help us, strengthen us, and edify us as God's children to run a race in such a way that He would bless it in such a way that this world would never believe. And I believe that Paul gives us an outline right here in this passage of Scripture. He gives us the boundaries, the layout, the skeleton, if you will, to build off of. So if you would, let's look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, and begin reading. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise God for that passage of Scripture. Right, amen. Yes, we see that Paul is telling us, let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us.
That's good, brother.
And I want to take notice what he says right before that phrase right there. He says, let's forget about everything behind us. Yeah. Forget about that burden that's been weighing you down week after week. Forget about that sin that you committed that just made you fall flat on your face last year. Let's put all that stuff behind us and let's keep on pressing on. Let's keep on looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. That's how we're going to be able to run our race this year.
Amen.
Amen. I want to pray real quick and we'll get right into the message. I don't want to hold y'all up too long. Brother Michael said we're going out to eat afterwards. So there's two things you don't do to a Baptist preacher. You don't feed him before he preaches, because then he's going to want to end up quick so he can go take a nap. And you don't tell him that there's going to be food afterwards, because he's going to want to end up quick and go eat. So Lord willing, you know, we'll be out and just shortly. Y'all just stick with me and we'll try to get somewhere with the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we come before you, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And God, I thank you for Crossroads Baptist Church. I thank you, Lord, for this congregation. And God, I thank you, Lord, for their pastor. I ask you, Lord, that you just touch each and every single one of us in here, dear God, that we would meet with you at the beginning of this new year, dear God, that we would just refreshing our souls and our hearts, dear Lord, with a desire and a burden to serve you in this day and age, dear God, that we would just be unashamed of the gospel. And I ask you, Lord, that you would just give us a desire to serve you in a manner, in a way that this world has never seen, dear God. I ask you, Lord, that we would just be so willing and so committed to your word and to your commandments, that you would just bless us in such a way, dear God, that would just shake the very core of this earth. Lord, we know that you can do it. You've done it for the saints of old, dear Lord, and I ask you, Lord, just to do it again one more time. I ask you, God, just to anoint us this evening, just to bless us this evening, that we may be able to leave this church saying, oh no, not what a preacher, not what a singer, not what a service, not what a church, but oh, what a Savior. God, we want to meet with you this evening. We want to see you this evening. We want to hear from you this evening. Lord God, I ask you to meet with us now. And it's in Jesus' name we do pray and ask it all. Amen and amen. We look at this passage of Scripture and we see that Paul was trying to tell us something. You must take notice that now Paul, he was a man that he'd been around the block for a couple years, if you will. He had seen some things already in this passage of Scripture. He was a seasoned man of God. And I heard a preacher say this the other day. I was listening to him preach on the life of Paul, and this just struck me. It was so interesting. I love studying about Paul.
Amen.
Just because without Paul, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be in this church. See, God used Paul in a great and mighty way. Because of Paul, because Paul listened to the will of God, which that doesn't happen that often nowadays. See, we get in a comfort zone and we won't listen to the will of God. And Paul was pretty comforted where he was. He was satisfied with where he was. He had already seen great and mighty things. And he was satisfied and content with that. But there was a desire deep down in his heart that he couldn't waver. He just couldn't shake. And he had to listen to that sweet, sweet, soft, still voice. And I can remember reading about Paul just as a young boy thinking, my, what it would be like to meet a man like that. Just of great stature, of great godliness. I believe that Paul had God dripping off of him. And we read about Paul and we read about how he got switched over to Macedonia. The Holy Spirit just urged Paul to go to Macedonia. And Paul went there. And because he went to Macedonia, the Bible ended up making its way to Europe. And because it was in Europe, it ended up making its way to Geneva. And because it went to Geneva, it ended up making its way to a place called Great Britain. And because it went to Great Britain, it went to an old little place that was so irrelevant, hardly anybody knew it even existed. A place called the United States of America. Because of one man's action. One man's obedience. But if you study the life of Paul, you see that he was a seasoned man at this time. And you read after him. At the early stage of his ministry, Paul states that he was the least of all apostles. And then a couple more years down the road in his ministry, he says, I'm the least of all saints, Brother Michael.
Yeah.
But we see that just a few more years later, Brother Paul makes this statement. He says, I'm no longer the least of all apostles. I'm no longer the least of all saints. But now I see myself for what I truly am. I'm the chief of all sinners. See, Paul, over the years, the more he began to empty himself of self-righteousness and of pride, and the more he began to fill himself of the Savior and the Holy Spirit, he began to lose himself. He began to lose the value of himself. And he began to die to his flesh each and every single day. And he had no longer did he have a value of his own self. And that took time. That takes sacrifice. That takes work. And we see that from a seasoned man of God, someone I believe probably the most humble person outside of Jesus Christ to ever walk the face of the earth. Someone that literally lived in the reverential awe of God each and every single day of his life. He knew what it was for God to fill him up. He knew what it was for Pentecost to take place. I mean, you ought to think some of the things that Paul went through. And you read after the life of Paul, he said, I've been bruised, I've been beaten, I've been stoned, I've been mocked, I've been persecuted, I've been chased out of cities, chased out of towns, rebuked, just totally shut out of, rejected by multitudes. But he said, all of it's worth it. All of it's worth it. And as we enter into this year of 2019, in such a time as this, we need to be ready for a battle. We need to be ready for a fight. We need to be ready to lay down whatever the cost may be. And we need to look at Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I don't care. You can have all this world. I just want You. I just want to hear You one more time. I just want to be so close that I can hear Your heartbeat. I want to hear Your breath. I want to be so close that You just speak to me each and every single second of each and every single day. We need to have a desire like that, church.
Amen.
We're losing passion and we're losing a desire. We're losing an unction.
Yeah.
All because of this modern type of citizenship, if you will. See, we got fast cars and we got fast electronics. I mean, you can know anything about this world in a matter of seconds through that smartphone.
Yes.
You can go to a bank and be in and out in a matter of 15 seconds because of the technology that you got. I mean, it's absolutely breathtaking to think about how modern technology has evolved throughout the past 19 years alone.
Amen.
I remember as a child, all we had was a landline. We didn't even have like a home phone. It was just a landline. That was it. And I can remember just a couple more years down the road, my dad had a work phone. And he pulled it out of his pocket, man. You could play these little games on there, Pac-Man and everything. I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And then I remember a couple years down the road, he bought me one of them Nintendo Game Boys and only had 3 buttons. And I thought there ain't no way that you can get better than this. I mean, these things are going to end up running the world. You know, that's what I thought. They were just so smart. It was so amazing that all you had to do was put a little card in the back of that device and all of a sudden it would totally change everything. But because the way that all this stuff has changed, all this stuff has become so modern, we've become so infatuated with our own lives, so infatuated with everything that this world has to offer. Now all we want is more money. All we want is a faster car. All we want is to get something quicker. And we got this Amazon Prime taking over the world. I mean, you get whatever you want on the internet within 2 days. It's absolutely insane. We don't have time for anything else now. It's all about us. It's all about me. But friend, can I tell you, the only way that we are going to be able to see God move in a great and mighty way this year is if we say, God, I don't need it. God, I don't want it. I'm willing to give it all up if that means I can have You.
Amen, preacher. Bless you, preacher.
We need to have that desire in our heart. And as we look at this passage of Scripture, you must remember that we're talking about running our race this evening.
Yeah.
Running our race. And I believe that Paul, he shows us how to run our race to the best of our abilities. Number one, as we are running our race, we need to learn to find our place. We need to learn to find our place. Now, you may say, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, each and every single one of us in here that's a born-again Christian, we have a specific place in the body of God, in the body of Christ. Amen? The church forms the body of Christ, and each and every single one of us, we have a different place to fill and to occupy. Every single one of us, we have a calling. And you may say, Brother Chandler, I'm too old. Brother Chandler, I'm too young. I'm too skinny. I'm too fat. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm not that athletic, or I'm too athletic. I just got so many different things going on. I'm too busy. I can't do this. I can't do that. We begin to make excuses. Whatever you got this evening, can I tell you, you may not be a preacher. You may not be a Sunday school teacher. You may not be a deacon. You may not be that good of a singer. I don't care what you are. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you got to offer. If you are a child of God, you have been at least called to be a witness. Amen. Yeah.
That's right.
Each and every single one of us, the day that we got saved, there was something instilled within us that gave us that
Amen.
Great gift, that gave us the greatest thing this world has ever seen, the good news. And each and every single one of us, we have that obligation to go into the highways and hedges and spread the gospel. Amen.
Right.
As you read that passage of Scripture, you see God put these words in a specific area for a specific reason.
You're
he
right.
says, go ye into all the world. He didn't say, go, those preachers and you evangelists, you need to go. Those men and women that are good soul winners, you go into the highways and hedges. He said, go ye into the highways and the hedges. Ye meaning all, and all meaning every single one of us that have ever been saved. Amen.
Amen.
We all have a calling. And I'm not here to say that each and every single one of us, we ought to be preachers or we ought to be a Sunday school teacher. You ought to be involved in your church, amen?
Amen.
You ought to get literally infatuated with your church. Just let it be the very thing that drives you each and every single day. We ought to be busy within God's house. And we see that all of us, we have a place, we have a calling in our lives. And as we're running this race in 2019, we need to find out what our place is. Find out what your place is. What is your purpose? What is your purpose in this race? Is your sole purpose just to outrun somebody else? Just to finish a little bit better than the one before you? Are you just trying to get more money out of it? Are you just trying to be the most popular preacher in town? Are you just trying to be the best Sunday school teacher at the church? Are you just trying to be the most emotional singer out there? What is your purpose? What is the ambition behind everything? I'll tell you what it ought to be. Instead of getting the applause of man, and instead of getting the appreciation of man, it ought to be to praise and applaud Him. Amen.
Amen. Right.
We ought to have our eyes upon the author and the finisher of our faith. What's your purpose as you're finding your place? Can I also ask you this? What's your position? What's your position? See, Christians, we have an awful time with this. I've just seen so many different Christians, so many friends and family members just mess up when it comes to this area. When it comes to the way we position ourselves, are you setting yourself up for failure? Or are you setting yourself up for success? What is it? See, so many of us, we get so absorbed in our world. We get so tied up that we feel like, I may be able to get by just by doing this much. Man, there's been times, Brother Michael, I hate to admit it, it shames me. I mean, I just feel so terrible even just thinking about it. I should have never let it happen, but I'm human, all right? I'm human. Y'all may not be able to actually comprehend that because I know I'm perfect. I'm beautiful with this luscious beard and everything. I know I just look amazing. I understand, but I'm not perfect. Let the record show. And there's been times in my ministry, Brother Michael, that I haven't studied enough. I haven't prepared enough. Maybe I didn't pray enough. Maybe I didn't listen to what God wanted me to preach. There's been multiple times where I just said, maybe I can do it my own way. I fell flat on my face. It was just all in vain. What's the position that you're putting yourself in? Are you putting yourself in a position that is ultimately going to lead to failure? Have you prayed enough today? Do you think you've had a good enough devotion this morning? Did you read enough scripture for the trials of today? What's the position you're putting yourself in? And there's been multiple times where I've seen so many different Christians, heroes of the faith, they put themselves in a rotten position. I mean, they begin to go out into the world a little bit and try to taste everything.
Yes, sir.
And they think, well, maybe I can get away with a little bit of this stuff. And I got a friend that I graduated with from high school. I mean, he sold out. He was going to church each and every single week. I mean, he was just as good as it comes. One of the best, you know, kids that graduated from Hurricane High School there. And I remember, I mean, I just thought he was going to do great things for the Lord. Yeah, you know, I just thought, you know, he was going to do something amazing. But it just took 3 weeks in college. 3 weeks in college. That's all it took. And now he's smoking marijuana, you know, partying every week. All because he thought he could experiment a little bit. And now he's got sucked into this crowd that makes him think he can do all that, he can live that way, and he's still honoring God. What wickedness is that? We're living in a world that's just full of lies. And it's so easy for us to get caught up in these lies, and we put ourselves in these bad predicaments, these bad positions. We ought to be careful where we go as a Christian, amen? We ought to be careful of that. I don't know about you, but as we enter into this year of 2019, I want to be sure as a Christian, as a child of God, as a preacher, I want to be sure that I'm ready for the Lord to come back. Whatever day it may be, I don't want to be caught in a sin, Brother Michael. I don't want to be caught in laziness. I don't want to be caught not praying enough. I don't want to be caught not reading my Bible enough. I want to be caught doing the best I can for the Lord this year. Because, you know, as you look around the world, I like to watch Fox News every once in a while. And as you look around the world, you'll find that it's not in the best shape. I'm glad to say that I don't have to put my faith in the government. Amen. We'd be in a wreck if that were the case. I don't have to put my faith in some bank account. I don't have to put my faith in a bottle. I don't have to put my faith in a pill. I don't have to put my faith in anything else, say Jesus Christ only. Amen?
Amen.
That's the only thing I want to put my faith in. And as you look at this world, especially in this day and age, you'll find that it's so wicked, it's so vile now more than ever. I believe that we're at 11:59 on God's timetable, and He's just going to come back at any moment, at any time, in a twinkling of an eye. I believe it with all my heart. So now more than ever, we ought to be ready for the Savior. Amen. What's your position? But also, quickly, what is your pursuit? What is your pursuit? What's the ambition behind it all? What's the driving factor?
That's good, brother.
What is your pursuit this evening? In your Christian life, what is your pursuit? Think about it. Learn to find your place. And also, number two, stop trying to be ace. Stop trying to be ace. Now, I'd love to preach this to every single Baptist church in America.
Amen.
Stop trying to be ace. We got so many Christians, and I've been guilty of it before. I mean, I want to be the best that I possibly can be for the Lord. Amen. That's just a desire that I have, Brother Michael. I want to be the best I possibly can. And so oftentimes, we get it in our mind that there's this type of scale system that we got going on in the churches. Whoever gets to teach the most, they're the best. Whoever gets to sing the most, they're the best. Whoever gets the most people saved after preaching, they're the best. That's what we begin to think, but I'm here to tell you, friend, it don't matter anything about that. All that stuff is just wickedness. All that stuff is just lies. Let's not infatuate ourselves with that, but let's just try to please and honor God. If there's ever a time that you've ever stood up and you've ever taught something out of the Bible and you taught the Word of God, if there's ever been a time where you've gotten up and you've went door knocking and you gave somebody the gospel, you're pleasing Him. There's ever been a time where you sing and you lifted up His name, you're pleasing Him. That's doing your best. That's being the best you possibly can. That's what we ought to strive for. But we get stuck in this game, trying to be ace, trying to be number one. We put ourselves at the top of the totem pole. But until you take yourself down from there and put God where He truly deserves to be in your life, you ain't never going to see Him work. You ain't never going to see Him do great and mighty things. And so many people miss out on blessings. They miss out on great things from the hand of God because they're so ignorant and disobedient. But I see that as you try to be ace, you'll end up with no advancements in the Christian life. You'll never be able to go forward. You'll just be stuck right there. But I also see there will never be any approval from God. You'll have to live with that. You'll have to ultimately give an account for that. But also see, if you try to be ace, if you try to be number one, you will never have any ability from God. The quickest way for a Christian to get the hand of God moved from their life is to try to put themselves first. I see it so often. So many churches are just full of Christians living in that lie. Friend, can I tell you, as we enter into this year, if you want to see God move, if you want to have the power of God in your life, if you want to wake up each and every single morning with new blessings just showered upon you, can I tell you, you need to allow God to take the reins of your life and actually do something with you, amen? Let's stop fighting Him. Let's stop trying to be first, but let's put God's interests first, amen? Let's put His interests first. Let's put His house first instead of our house. Let's put His money first before our money. Let's put His interests before our ours, amen. There's been times in my life where I just assume stay home and watch Wheel of Fortune and then go out and go on visitation. There's times where we get so fleshly, so worldly that happens. We need to deal with it. We need to stop being number one in our lives, amen. Let's give God the reins quickly. And thirdly, I see that we also need to forget about our face, Brother Michael. Amen. Forget about our face. And I see that in this passage of Scripture, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our face, of our faith. I see that we're not looking in a mirror as we're running that race. We don't need to worry about our attire, what we look like and everything else. If we're all beautied up and everything, we need to look at Him. Keep our eyes fixed on Him. Each and every single step that we take, we need to have our eyes on Him, church. Let's forget about our face this evening. And I see that that'll help us in such a detrimental way. So many people, they try to get in the spotlight of the churches. Now, I've been to several churches in my ministry where, I mean, they're just dying because you got one man, one woman that just want to live in the spotlight. They think that it's karaoke session. They think that, you know, it's, you know, bingo night or something. I don't know. They just want to be in the front of everything. They're getting confused. See, Americans especially, you'll go to different nations and you'll find that they're so much better at this than we are. But Americans especially, we have lost all reverence for God's house. We need to stop dressing like the world, amen? Dress Sunday's best every time you enter into God's house, amen? I only got 3 suits that fit me because I'm so fat, but I wear them all the time because I want to look good for God, amen? I want to dress appropriate and give God reverence. It ain't about dressing like a fancy person. It ain't trying to look dapper or anything. I want to look my best for God because He deserves it, amen? We need to give everything that we can to Him.
Yes, you're right.
Even if it means the 3 suits you got. Amen. But I see that so many people, they don't give reverence to God anymore, and especially at His house. And I also see that as we begin to forget about our face, we must become fearful of God. Fearful in a manner. You study in the Old Testament what the fear of the Lord means. All that means is having a reverential awe towards God. Standing in awe with such reverence that you're just even afraid to breathe. You don't want to mess it up. You ever been there? You ever experienced that? We ought to live at a place like that. Amen. We ought to be fearful as we begin to forget about our face. That's one of the biggest things that gets people so messed up and so caught up. They don't want to live in that position. They think that they can hold on to a little bit of the world and try to hold on to God at the same time and balance it all. But you're not going to be able to do it, church. We need to be fearful, but we also need to be fervent. Be enthusiastic about church. Man, I've been in some dead churches in my ministry. I'm thankful I'm not at one tonight. Amen. I'm glad of it. You know, I've been in churches where I've said something stupid. I mean, I've there's been a time where I've like coughed and sneezed at the same time. It was so embarrassing. And I remember it was in such a dead church, they didn't even laugh at me. And I mean, I'm glad that y'all laugh at me at least, you know. If I do something stupid, please laugh. At least show me a little bit of emotion. We need to have a ferventness about us as we enter into God's house. Be enthusiastic. Be excited about being at God's house. It's the best place on earth, amen? There's no other place I'd want to be, amen? I also see that we need to become firm, unmovable, sustained. We need to be firm about God's Word. We need to be firm in our position. We need to be firm in our stances and in our beliefs. Because now more than ever, we're living in a day and age where it's so easy that everybody just wants to argue. Everybody just wants to be a thorn in your flesh. Amen? That's what everybody wants to be. They just want to fight. They want to argue. They want to pick on you. And they want to try to run you over. And now more than ever, we need a boldness about us. We need a backbone about us. And we need a firmness about us. So many churches have been totally destroyed because nobody would stand up and say, oh no, that's wrong. Oh no, we're not doing that at the house of God. Oh no, that's foolish. That's wickedness. Why in the world would you do that at church? We need to have a firmness about us, amen? Especially as we're running our race. And lastly, and I'll be done, as we're running our race, let's learn to find our place. Stop trying to be ace. Forget about your face. And lastly, run at your own pace.
Amen.
I said it earlier, I ain't the fastest runner. I never claim to be. And there's a lot of other people, I'm sure there's a lot of people in here that could outrun me. And we all just have to run at our own pace. But that doesn't mean that we need to be lazy about it. See, we got to find a balance between it all. We don't need to run so slow that we're just, you know, we're real comfortable. We need to push ourselves, challenge ourselves a little bit. That's the only way you're going to be able to move forward in that race. That's the only way you're ever going to be able to get better. But you got to run at your own pace. Don't try to reach out and do something that you're not capable of doing. And I've seen so many Christians just destroy their testimonies because they try to take on so much and it just gets so overwhelming that they can't handle it and they just run out of church. They're done with it. They throw in the towel. You got to run at your own pace. Know what you're capable of. And that's what I like to do. Know what you're capable of. Examine yourself. See how much you can handle. And then take about 5% extra. And that'll be just enough to allow you to keep on moving forward. Now, if God pressures your heart, you take on more. I promise you, you won't regret it. And I was reading the other day, Brother Michael, and this just blessed me, as we're running our own pace in this race. See, God, He never promised that, you know, the Christian life would be easy. He never said that the cross would not get heavy, amen? He never said that it would be a bed of roses. And I read this the other day. You know, so many people, they think that there's a verse in the Bible that, and it's somewhere that says that God won't put on more than you can bear. Amen. That's not in the Bible. See, all we think we see is, in all actuality, all it is God said that He's never going to tempt us more than we can bear. He said He's going to tempt us. There's going to be temptations, but He's going to provide a way out. And I guess just with, you know, our human nature, we tend to mess everything that's perfect and holy up. And we got it in such a way that we think that God ain't going to put more than we can bear on us. But I've been in a situation. I've been time and time again. I've only lived 19 years. But I have a lot of experiences. And there's been a lot of times in my life where I promise you, God put on more than I could bear. And I thought that I was going to die, Brother Michael. The week before I got called to preach, I literally looked at my family. This is probably the most scared my mother's ever been. I looked at my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister, and I said, guys, I've dealt with so much heartache this week, I'm going to end up dying before the week's over. That's just how bad, how hard my life got. I said, I'm going to end up dying before the week's over. That's how heavy those burdens were weighing on me. That's how tough those trials were. You're never going to find a verse in your Bible that says God will only put on what you can bear. But praise God, He puts on what He can bear. Amen. It don't matter if you can bear it or not. It don't matter if you're strong enough or not. It don't matter if you feel like all the walls are tumbling in on you. It don't matter if you think that the mountaintop's too high. If you think that valley's too low. It don't matter what you think, friend. We serve a God and we can cling to this promise, this one truth throughout this new year. Amen. We can always praise our Father in heaven, knowing that He is the one
Amen.
That can bear every burden that we got. Amen.
Hallelujah.
We're not strong enough by no means. And I'm thankful that He is. Amen.
Amen.
And there's been so many times in my life, Brother Michael, that I've just felt like I've done messed everything up. I mean, I remember the first time I ever preached in front of a church, I just felt so defeated. And I thought to myself, man, I ain't never going to be able to preach again. You know, I've done messed up this opportunity so bad, no church in America will ever call me. But I'm thankful I ain't that powerful. Amen. My mistakes aren't that big to ruin the will of God for my life. And as we look into this new year, as we're running our race, let's be sure to remember that we serve someone oh so much stronger than any one of us. Amen. It's not about a preacher. It's not about a singer. It's not about a church. It's about a Savior. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I'm thankful for the year that the Lord has given us last year. And I look forward to what God does in the years to come. But this year, 2019, has me excited. Because the way that everything has been orchestrated in this world, God is putting a platform together to do something great and mighty in this nation. And I know for a fact that He has a couple of saints of God that He wants to use. So I'm asking this evening, have you found your place? Have you finally given God the position that He needs to be in your life? And you stop being ace. Have you forgot about your face? And are you running at your own pace? We need to live this year in such a manner, in such a way that will bring so much praise and honor to God. And I believe that it starts right here at Crossroads Baptist Church on January 2nd of 2019. So I ask you tonight, church, maybe there's a couple of us in here and you say, Brother Chandler, I just want to do the best I can this year and I want you to pray for me. And if that's you, you just raise your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll be praying for each and every single one of you. We all have a duty to fulfill. And God has given us obligations. I'll be praying for each and every single one of you as you go out and try to do the will of God and do the work of God, that He would just strengthen us and help us and edify us each and every single day of this year. Right now, Brother Michael, you go ahead and come.